It would get you in book and turn to page 279. 279, first, second, and last verse.
Father reigns over.
I do remember the ones that are not able to be here this evening. I think Ms. Sherry or one of them just got a text that Brother Tony's running a little bit late on his run today, so that's where Ms. Brenda are, and that's where missing several this evening. Is Matt okay? Is he looking good?
Yeah, he's just exhausted. He hasn't been sleeping good.
Oh, okay. You feeling a bit better?
Yeah, I still got cough and lose my voice here and there, but I feel better.
Good, good. Appreciate the Lord helping Ms. Ashley. Before we continue, you've got a request for prayer, but I'd love to hand it out. Amen. Amen. Remember all these. I continue to remember Mama, if you would. Last I talked to Dad, she was still doing pretty good. I need to text and check up on her again, but appreciate everybody praying for her. And just been...
Good.
Amen. Just really appreciate the Lord answering prayer. Seems like there's just been like good news recently around, right? So we really appreciate the Lord helping Brother Greg, and I'm sure everybody's heard, but if anybody hadn't, you know, the Lord just took that spot away completely. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, they weren't actually expecting that, correct? I mean, I knew it was a possibility, but as far as even medically. But.
The second MRI, they were leaning more towards it being a brain tumor. So he was somewhat surprised that it was whatever it was gone.
But even if it had been a stroke, they weren't expecting it to be completely gone.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought. Like, I know we were praying for it to have shrunk a little bit, because that would be
yes.
Indication that it was, it shrunk a little bit, all right. Amen.
The neurosurgeon was happy, so he didn't get to usually give that good of a news. So.
Yeah. Amen. So I really appreciate the Lord moving for Brother Greg there. I got, and I didn't grab it. Maybe I'll read it Sunday. If anybody can remember, remind me. I should have it printed out for Richard Jimmy to read on Sunday. I haven't been here on a Sunday since I printed it out. So. But that's real good news in Preacher Jimmy's report. Lord's blessing his ministry over there. So that was some more good news that we got this week. And I want to thank the Lord that our president signed the Lincoln-Riley Act. I don't know if anybody is familiar with that, but the young lady, Lincoln Riley, was murdered by an illegal immigrant that, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he already have like a record, you know, on top of that, and under the previous administration, where the law was not kept, this young lady was...
He was jailed and then released because he was an immigrant.
See, I thought it was something
instead
like that.
Instead of being deported, he was just released. I think like at the border or something was like encouraged to go back home.
Yeah, exactly.
Something
yeah.
Of that nature.
Yeah. So anyway, our president signed a law that says, no, these people, if they got a record, you have to detain them. It's not like we don't care what you think. You have to detain them, you know, to try to prevent this from happening. And so I praise the Lord that, you know, again, it's like me and Preacher Stoney both said, it doesn't matter how you feel about the man. Is what he is doing lining up with the Word of God, and that absolutely lines up with the Word of God. The leaders of a nation are charged with protecting the people of that nation and enforcing the borders of that nation. So that law that he signed is in alignment with the Scriptures.
Yeah.
Therefore, we as God's people are to be for it. All right, so, you know, that's not, you know, we're not going to agree with everything he does, right?
I'm not with Trump, I'm with God.
That's exactly it. That is exactly it.
And I don't care who likes it or not.
Yeah.
I'm praying that God do good for this nation, and God is doing good for this nation. I don't care who he does to good. I'm going to praise God for it.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to do right to President Biden. It don't matter.
Amen.
Right? So just appreciate the Lord working in that. That's been a great help. I know there's been quite a few things done, really, even in the last week, giving relief to those that have been treated wrongly. Appreciate seeing these hostages released, you know, into Israel. It's not the situation I would have liked to see, where they were all just released and, you know, no conditions given to the enemy. But the fact of the matter is there are people safe at home that were not before. And for that part, we can praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Just continue to remember the nation of Israel, that God would do a work there, that he would make himself known to the Jewish people. That's my prayer, that God would reveal himself to them. And we know from the Scripture that he is going to do that. He's already said he's going to do that.
Amen.
So when we pray that, we are praying in agreement with the Lord. We are seeking what he wants. Preacher Mike Bible preached a good bit about that at camp meeting this past go, you know, he's going to do it, right? So either we can get with him or we can't. So, you know, when we pray these things, we are praying in agreement with God because he wants to reveal himself to the Jewish people, and he has guaranteed us that he is going to do that. So just continue to pray for the nation of Israel. Pray for America that we will stand with Israel, and so invite the blessings of God, because if we stand against Israel, we will be inviting the curses of God on our nation, and we definitely don't want to do that. We've done enough of that. We've done enough of that for the rest of America's history. We don't need to do any more. So just continue to remember that. Remember, our pastor always, you know, that as he leads, that God will lead him in the right way, and pray for him as he preaches tonight, but also pray for the little one, you know, and just, man, I'm so excited. Anyway, just continue to pray for that situation there. And I feel like there was more prayer requests that I already knew about, but who else has got a request? Oh, Dale. Remember Dale, he does have COVID. Is he getting any better? Is he feeling better? Or?
He was running a fever yesterday afternoon.
I can tell he was feeling bad Saturday. And he kept saying, oh, I think it's just a head cold. And I was like, I mean, I don't know. Usually you're pretty tough about that stuff. He looked like a real guy. So just pray for Dale that the Lord would help him with that. Is your mom okay? I know she's not. Oh, well.
she started feeling a little bit of a head cold yesterday, too, but she tested negative.
Okay.
She actually took dad in the doctor yesterday, and they went ahead and tested her, but she tested negative.
Okay.
And
but I've been praying that the Lord would help her not get that, you know, so just pray for Miss Terry there. How is Lee? Is he okay?
He's still Sunday.
Okay, good. Now, right now he's still getting over what the... See, did he have a pacemaker, or they changed it, or... Is, yeah, okay.
Yesterday started 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be able to drive after 6 weeks.
So it started counting yesterday, you said? Okay.
For 6 weeks. He couldn't drive for 6 weeks. Yesterday started the 6th week.
Oh, it started the 6th week. Oh, okay. So he's only got a week left till he can drive now. Okay. Continue to remember Brother Lee. Is Miss Frances still doing okay? Miss Frances?
She's doing all right. All right. She's
okay.
Old.
Oh. Yeah.
She's just hanging by with you.
So I don't know if you... That's what Lynn just said about hysteria. Apparently it's going around. But no, we do appreciate these ones that the Lord has allowed to stay with us and you know, continue to enjoy their fellowship and stuff. So just continue to pray for them. Miss Vivian got a good report. What did you say? It was 12.3. 12.3. I thought this is what you said.
I'll go back tomorrow. I see the doctor tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen.
But it's still up.
Amen. Continue remembering that. Appreciate the Lord helping us.
I've been there.
Is that she walked across the floor without a rollator? Yeah.
Keep praying for that.
Yeah.
Amen.
I don't know if you've heard, but they some wildfires started up and down down your back end room.
No, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, there's wildfires going. They kind of trying to get it put out, but these winds being up off there are just spreading fast. It's been pretty dry.
Yeah.
Just pray that God, Stephanie said that she's got a play, goes to, Tony Ricky Bishop, Carlson, this girl goes to the CC group, they go to his church, Ricky's church. And her and they just got a new home. Like, I mean, they've been like us, you know, just waiting forever, it seemed like. And they finally just moved in recently. And the fire was pretty near their house. And somebody said on her little homeschool group, trying to pray for them. I said, let's just pray to God just to raise the fire and set everybody's on.
Yeah, amen.
And so I know he's able. You know, yes. And he's able to go into a man's body and take a tumor and just remove it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So whatever's there, whatever it is, and remove it. You know what I mean?
Amen.
He's able to take, but he's got hands small enough to reach in there and do that. And he's got hand big enough to take care of that fire.
Amen.
So so, let's just pray that he do that.
Amen. Amen. Remember this.
Pray for two of my friends. Both of them are Austin. Both of them are going through situations. One of my friends is going through a divorce. His family, his parents are going through a divorce. So just pray for him on that. Other friends, his grandpa, he's getting his legs amputated. So just be praying for both of them. And both of them are Austin. Just pray for them.
She is 29 weeks pregnant. She went to the hospital because she was having really strong contractions. And every 2 to 3 minutes, they gave her some medicine. She had a really bad reaction to it, so they had to give her, I guess, change it. But she come, this was last week, and she come Monday. And I had just talked to her about an hour before, and she's just has so much fear. They've tried for a long time to get pregnant. They have 2 older girls, and they're pregnant with a little boy. And she had to end up leaving. It was pretty traumatic, really. Just I went to afternoon care, so I had to help kind of contain the little ones, you know, because she was just in so much pain. They brought her a wheelchair. Basically, they told her that she was going to have to deal with that until the baby comes. And they're trying to keep, you know, the baby from coming. Mm-hmm. But she's having contractions still every 2 to 4 minutes.
Right.
And she can't sleep. And she's got, you know, a long ways to go, hopefully. And it's all, you know, until God says, and pray that, you know, whenever that she can get some rest and that she has a healthy delivery. It just really has been way on the heart.
Yes. Amen.
I can't imagine.
Amen. Amen. Remember this. All right, that's all. So I'll come pray.
I pray that you'd be glorified, for I pray that the needs of these all be met.
evening.
Good evening.
It's good to be in the Lord's house again. Remember, our comedy show will be February 8th at 5, right? That's a Saturday, right? All right. Looking forward to that. I look forward to that every year. That's a fun time. It is. We have a lot of fun, you know. Like I said, I never did go to nothing like that growing up or nothing, you know. I never did know that, you know, we could do something like that. And it's been a blessing, you know. Like I said, I always associate comedy with them old, you know, rough comedians and stuff, you know. That's most of the ones that does it.
Yeah.
I never had heard any Christian comedy and stuff, you know. But I guess the closest thing would have been something like Jerry Clower or something other, you know. But
yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily say his comedy was Christian, but I believe it was influenced enough that it wasn't too, you know, despicable in any way. But in any case, I enjoy getting to have a good laugh and being able to do it in such a way that it is still glorifying to God. You know, laughter, I believe, does glorify God.
Yeah.
Whenever it is done in a way that we're not laughing at things that are wicked and ridiculous, you know.
Yeah.
My old sinful, wicked heart, I laugh at wicked, ridiculous things if I hear it or see it.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. So, preacher, that's awful. If you don't, then I'm glad for you.
Yeah.
But the Bible says not to. And in that, I fail a lot of times. I have a horrible sense of humor. If one of your family members passes and I have to preach that funeral, I will tell you, I will say, forgive me if I laugh at any point in time and it hurts your feelings. I am sorry. I do not intend to, but one of the ways I deal with nervousness is I laugh. And I look for a reason that I can't help it. I've always been that way. Whenever I was a kid, I'd get in trouble. I'd go to the principal's office. No sense kids ever do this if you get in trouble. But I'd go to the principal's office. They'd start telling me what I'd done wrong, and I'd start laughing. I couldn't help it. You know, when you talk about getting mad, that'd get one mad at you, but I couldn't help it. You know, like I said, I was nervous, and I was just getting to laughing. That's just the way I do it. You know, different people's different. But in any case, I'm glad to be able to do it in a way that's not sinful, amen, and to be able to do it in a way that is good and is glorifying to God. So I appreciate the opportunity to do that. I appreciate all the hard work that our folks here that put into that. I appreciate Scott and Sherry and all the work they put into it. It's funny. I'm a mailman. They don't hardly get in the packages. But it gets time for the comedy show, and all of a sudden, I'm delivering all kinds of stuff up there. I wonder what's where, you know, and I'm delivering hard hats, and I don't even know what all. You know what I mean? They ain't no telling what they're doing. I told Scott the other day, I said, I can see it now. I said, I don't know what y'all got planned. I said, I got a hard hat for you. I said, I don't know what y'all got planned, but I'm imagining. I said, you and Keith and Derek and Tony being the village people, seeing the YMCA. That's what I'm But in any case, I got a kick out of that. I bet you was laughing about that.
Oh, I was, yeah.
But in any case, but yeah, I appreciate them, and I appreciate everybody that puts the effort into doing that. Remember our youth rally coming up? Oh, I didn't know this, but Karen had texted me the other day and said Amy's Chapel's having a youth rally. Let's see, it's coming up, I think, in March. Where was it at? Here it is. It's Amy's Chapel. It's February 28th and March the 1st. Is that right? Oh, yeah, February 28th, that's the last day, don't it?
Yeah.
It threw me off for a second.
Yeah.
Because it said it's just Friday and Saturday. I'm like, how's that work? February, it threw me off. Leap years and such. It says, join us both nights for fellowship, special singing, and combined youth choir and the Word of God. Saturday evening, a meal will be served after service provided by Amy's Chapel. It's Friday at 7 and Saturday at 6 p.m. They'll have Preacher Peyton Bryant preaching Friday, and Preacher Billy Abey preaching Saturday. So if you're able, we'll go over there. I'm going to try to go to that. So remember, that's the last day of February, first day of March. All right. Anything else? Nobody says anybody got a song they want to sing for this story? Amen. Go ahead. Like, do y'all get together and plan this? Or do y'all just like know when it's time for y'all to sing together?
Sometimes she just picks the song and we sing it.
Yeah, because we don't have enough time. Like, one of us translate and we're like,
how does it?
Just get a song that we know.
That sounds good. Skipping it. I was going from Hebrew to 1 Peter and I was like, I thought it was right there. It's the one that was skipping over. James in chapter 2, sorry about that. We want to begin reading here. Verse number 14. James chapter 2, verse number 14. The Bible says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, but what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble.
Yes.
But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers, and they had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray, God, that we would handle it, God, carefully tonight, Lord, that we'd be rightly divided. God, that you'd be honored and glorified, and may you just bring conviction to our lives to help us to live for you and glorify you, for you are so worthy. We ask this in the precious and holy name of Jesus tonight. Amen. 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 I want to preach, I don't know how many, few services here, on Christian works. We talked about for a while here, walking in the Spirit, we've talked about liberty, we've talked about legalism. Purpose of that was so that we could get here safely. We needed to land here safely. Yeah. Because Christian works is what advances the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Understand that.
Yeah.
It is not a requirement for salvation. And so in order to get to this point safely, to where that we can have a good understanding of what it is that we as Christians should be doing, what it is that we should desire to do, and how to do those things, then we need to go over all the things we went over last month.
Yeah.
I hope that after the last month I've been preaching this whole month thus far, that we understand that faith is, we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
His blood is what paid the price for our sins, mm-hmm. and nothing else.
Yeah.
I hope that we understand that tonight. I hope we have landed there with everything that we've been through. Like I said a few weeks ago, I said, you know, my hope and my prayer is that we would be excited about serving God. And I hope that after hearing and learning all that we've went over, that we've been reassured of, and everything that we've been reminded of in the last few weeks, that we can be excited about the fact that God loves us.
Amen.
Regardless of the fact that we don't deserve it.
Right. Amen.
Still don't deserve it. Never did deserve it, still don't deserve it.
Right.
But He's good and He loves us anyway.
Yeah.
You realize that I don't deserve my mom and dad's love.
Right.
You know what? They love me anyway.
Yeah.
My children, listen, kids, they don't deserve my love. They haven't earned my love. My wife's earned my love.
Yeah.
She wasn't born into my family. She's earned it. I hope I've earned her love. My children, they haven't yet earned it, really. I I'm just being honest with you. They don't do nothing good for me. I have to whoop them to make them do anything. I have to literally get physically violent with them and beat them to make them do what I want. They don't do it of their own free volition. They haven't earned. But I love them. I love them anyway, regardless of the fact they haven't earned it. More so than that, our Heavenly Father loves us regardless of the fact that we haven't earned it.
Right.
And we never will earn it. Amen.
Right.
But He loves us. And so we understand that. But we also know that without having Christian works, and without doing Christian works, then the kingdom of God will never be advanced. Yeah. Have you ever seen a football game that is won whenever they do not have any offense? It doesn't happen.
Right.
Guess what? In a war, you could have the greatest tanks, you could have the greatest walls and the greatest bomb shelters and the greatest fortitude that there is, but if you don't got some guns and some tanks, you can't win the war.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm saying that there has to be some offensive measures that are taken in order to win. That means that there's action that has to be taken. There's advancement that has to be made. I've quoted this and I've said this before, and it's worth saying again. Jesus said this about His kingdom. He said that He would establish it upon the rock of Himself, even being the good foundation that He is.
Yeah.
And He said that the gates of hell, told Peter this, shall not prevail against. What is a gate? It is a defensive mechanism.
Yeah.
You see, the kingdom of God, the advancement of God's kingdom is meant to be an offensive measure.
Yes.
What does He call the Word of God? Does He call it a fortitude or a fortress? He calls it a sword. What is a sword for? It is not a defensive tool, it is an offensive tool.
Right.
It is a tool to be used in offense. It is a tool to be used in advancement. It is a tool to be attacked with, to use, to go forward and attack and to take out enemy defenses. He said that we're called to tear down strongholds that have been stood up against the knowledge. A stronghold is a power. It's a defensive measure.
Right.
We're called to be offensive. He said this. He said that others hated me. He said they hated me first. He said they'll also hate you. And so we understand that the gospel by nature, being that it is truth, it is objective truth, and that by nature we our nature after our original father, which is Satan, according to what Jesus said in John chapter 8. And so we know that naturally, as brute beasts, we behave that way, as Jude would say, and that naturally we despise God's law, and the flesh wars against the spirit, and we deny. He asked Paul in the book of Acts, he said, why didst thou against the pricks? And even whenever he's dealing with us, we resist that because we want to go our own way. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. The end thereof is destruction, the Bible says.
Yes.
And so we constantly fight against that, and that is by nature the way that we are, is to resist the will of God.
Yeah.
And so there has to be an offensive force that comes in, and it has to attack, so to speak, to tear down those strongholds, to lower those defenses. You see, whenever God saved me, before He did, a lot of those defenses that I had built up had to be tore down.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yeah.
I'm glad of that. At the time, I fought it. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know, maybe you didn't. Maybe you didn't. If you didn't, I'm glad that you didn't. I truly am. I'm glad you didn't. But I did, and I know a lot of others did. We fought it. Why? Because we wanted to keep doing the way we was doing.
Yeah.
We love the darkness rather than light. But I know this, that God overcame me, and I'm glad of it.
Amen.
I'm tickled to death about that.
Amen.
And so it is necessary for the Christian to have works in their life. Like I said, works are not a requirement for salvation, but works are a result of salvation.
Amen.
Can I say it? Let me say, works are a result of salvation.
Yes.
Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7. He said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. So not everyone who calls Jesus Christ Lord is going to heaven. He says, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And they said that on that day many will say to me, Lord, if we not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils in thy name, and in thy name done many wonderful works,
He said, then will I profess unto them, depart from me, I never knew ye, ye workers of iniquity.
Yeah.
And so we see that there's many people that claim to have done things for Jesus, but like I said, a lot of that stuff falls in that category of legalism. You see, legalism has to do with us doing what we can because we're trying to earn God's favor.
Yeah.
Understand this, when we talk about verse, like I said, this is just the introduction tonight. I might not even really get to the text. I've read you the text that we're going to be in. If we get to it, we get to it. If we don't get to it, we'll get to it Sunday morning and from whenever, however long we go in it. But like I said, I just want to get this out. I want us to understand where we're going with this. I just want to give God, I'm just preaching. I'm giving you the Bible. I read the scripture to you. What I'm saying has everything to do with what I just read to you. Just because I don't do it verse by verse, because I don't hold against them.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is this, is that we have to have works in our life in order to advance the kingdom of God. It's not a requirement, but it is a result. Whenever Jesus said this, he said that he that doeth the will of my Father, and I know that in John chapter number 6, it said this, after he had fed those 5,000, they come a following after him, and they said, what must we do to work the works of God? He says, this is the work of God, that you believe on he whom he sent.
Yeah.
And so we know that that is the will of God to do, but it also means that he said there, when he says that, when he says that, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, in Matthew 7, shall enter the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father. I believe that he's meaning to believe on the name of the God's Son.
Yes.
But I also believe that he's meaning that if you're saved and that you've got the Holy Ghost in you, that you will follow God and walk in the Spirit of God. Matter of fact, we just got through reading that over there in Romans chapter number 8, how it is said that if any have not the Spirit, they're none of his.
Yeah.
Amen? That's what the Bible says. Also, John wrote it in his epistles, and he said it this way. He said that there's many that's going to be go out from us. He said, but they're not all of us.
Right.
He said, if they would have been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. Amen.
Yes.
Again, John puts it this way in 1 John chapter 2. He said, hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments.
Yeah.
See, it's not a requirement to be saved. All right? Amen. Amen. Understand that's not a requirement. He said the only requirement is the blood payment of Jesus Christ, believing on the name of the only begotten Son. That is the gospel. That's the good news. Praise God for it.
Amen.
Because I can't keep the law. Never could, never will. Not in this flesh and body. Praise God. He's going to give me a glorified body one day, and I will keep it. Amen.
Amen.
But until that day, I'm stuck in this sin cursed body. And I'm going to fight, and I'm going to wrestle, and it's just going to be a battle. The rest of my life is going to be a battle, the rest of your Christian life.
Yes.
I got news for you. But guess what? The victory's already won.
Yes.
And so you just stay in the battle, good Christian soldier. But in the meantime, he said this, that we keep his commandments, if we know him. So how do we reconcile Romans 3 with 1 John chapter 2? What I mean by that is Romans 3 talks about all have sinned and fell short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us in John chapter 8 that we are our father of the devil. Again, the Bible tells us this. It says that the flesh wars against the spirit. These two are contrary one to another. Like I said, Jude says that we're act naturally as brute beasts. Well, you can't expect nothing from a lost person but to act like a lost person, right? But as a Christian, you expect something to change. Matter of fact, when Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, he said it this way. He said, behold, the old things are passed away. All things have become new. Amen. He said that we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so we see all this scripture, all this word that's compiled together to remind us over and over and over again that there should be things different about us as Christians. He says we're a royal priesthood set aside to do the will of God, to glorify God.
Amen.
So what does all that mean? Well, I've been thinking on that this past several weeks. And I want to say this. First of all, whenever we're called as Christians to be able to work and do the will of God, let us understand this first of all, that as Christians, doing the will of God, it's not to earn God's favor.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
It's not to earn God's favor. Let me say this. When you were young, if you had a daddy that you had to perform to earn his favor, then that's not a good relationship with your father.
Yeah.
There's a lot of us that's had fathers like that. But that just goes to show you the weakness of man.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, oh, what a blessing it'd be. Where's my little Sawyer at? Huh? Is he asleep? Sawyer, are you awake? Can you come up here, please? Yeah, come here. Come here. Come on. What are you doing? Huh? Come on. Take that coat off. Boy, you look like you're going to burn up. Come here. Come here. Now, what I would do to keep this boy this size forever. He's just about got big enough and old enough and started thinking enough that he started to figure out what a lot of us do. That's his see boy up to this size, daddy's their hero. And I love being their hero.
Yeah.
I do. He wants to do everything like dad. If dad goes hunting, he wants to go hunting. If dad's going to shoot guns, he wants to shoot guns. If dad's going fishing, he wants to go fishing. I love the fact that these youngins look up to me.
Yeah.
Every dad loves that. But yeah. You know what happens? What happened to me? What happened to you? What happens to every youngin? They grow up and they see that dad's not perfect. Mm. They realize that there's other things in their life that they want in their life that dad's not like that. They start to see that dad has flaws just like a lot of other people do. And so they begin to build and become their own person. That's why we see a lot of rebellion in teenagers. They're wrestling with hormones and different things. They're also wrestling with coming of age and realizing that, you know, mom and dad, there's a lot to look up to about mom and dad. But then they get through them teenage years and they get all that sorted out. And they go back and they appreciate mom and dad and who they are. They realize eventually that nobody's perfect and they're not going to find the perfect mom and dad to look up to. That's what everybody goes through. Right?
Yeah.
Whatever that he does, he wants to do it because I do it. Because he knows that dad's good. He knows that dad is awesome. And to him, dad is who he wants to be. And that's why I said I would love for him to just never grow up and stay this size. I'd love for him to never get any bigger than that, you know. And just always, you can go sit down, thank you, sir. And to always feel that way. To always just know that whatever dad's doing, that's the best thing to do. Wouldn't it be nice? But you know what? I hope he grows up and he's a whole lot better off than dad is. I hope that he grows up and he's doing a lot better than I could and ever would. Because I'm not perfect either. But that's the same way that we are feeling about God, just as children. To know that we got a heavenly Father that we can always look up to, that is perfect. Amen? And that we don't need any other role model beyond who he is.
Yeah.
That he is inherently good. And that everything he does, whatever he's about, that's what we should be about.
Yeah.
You see, it's not to earn his favor. When them little youngins do stuff, I don't do it. They earn my favor. It's just because they think I'm cool. And they want to do what I'm doing. They think it's awesome for me to do whatever it is I'm doing. And they want to do it too. They say, well, if dad's doing it, I want to do it. That looks like something that I want to be a part of. If dad's going fishing, I want to go fishing. If dad's going hunting, I want to go hunting. If dad's going to get out and shoot guns, I want to shoot guns. If dad likes Chevy trucks, I like Chevy trucks. If he likes Ford trucks, I like Ford trucks. Whatever it is that dad's doing, that's what I want to do. Now, how good for us would it be if we could just realize that as the children of God, that whatever daddy's doing, that's what we ought to want to do. Because whatever he's doing, guess what? You know what? You know what they think? They think if dad's doing it, it must be fun, it must be good. Right? Well, guess what? If we'd see that way, what our father's doing, wouldn't it be fun? Let me ask you this. How many of you remember? Maybe you remember being moms and dads. Maybe you remember being kids, being on both ends of this. You know, I remember growing up. I remember just dying to ride that lawnmower. I wanted to mow that grass, preacher. I hate mowing grass now. But there's a time I wanted to mow that yard so bad. Please, Dad, can I help mow? Can I help mow? You know, Dad got me started pretty early. I was on that cup of Dad, I think when I was about 7. And I'd get up there and I'd mow that grass. And I remember getting about 10 years old, and I thought it was awesome. My papa would get out there with that goat and splitting wood. And I'd get out there, and I'd help him split wood. And I loved being able to split wood. And you know, my papa wasn't over no big man, y'all, but you know, most of y'all know him, you met him, you remember him. He wasn't a great big man. But he could take that old 6-pound maul, he could hit a hickory log, that big rail, and bust that thing first try. And it wasn't about his strength. It didn't look like he was even trying that hard. He just learned where how to do it. He'd done it a long time. You know, preacher, I wish I'd have spent more time instead of just trying to just figure it out on my own, you know, just being prideful and saying, well, you know, I'm strong. I'm tough. I bust that thing too. I shouldn't have stopped and asked him, Papa, how do you do that so good? He ain't here anymore. I can't ask him that. Man, I tell you what, he could build furniture and do things and, you know, I dabble in that. You can ask my wife. My grandpa, he had a special touch. He could build and fashion some really unique pieces. And he was a craftsman. He really was. He was I'm talking about just using hand tools and just taking something and turning it, you know, taking nothing and turning it into something. And I wish I'd asked him, Papa, I remember my grandma and her having a green thumb in that garden and being able to, you know, I try to grow a garden and it just don't look like grandma's did. She's losing her mind now, and all that time I thought, I'll figure it out, and I'll show Mama, and I'll say, look at my garden, Mama, it looks good as yours. I remember thinking like that whenever I was growing the garden, you know, but I wish now that while Mama's mind was still good, I'd just ask her, Mama, how do you do this? I wish I'd ask more questions, like, Mama, how do you do this with your, how do you do this with your cannon? How do you do that? You know, she just knew so much.
Yes.
I'm sure a lot of y'all has got moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas that's passed on, and you think back to something that they done that was just perfect, and you just can't seem to do it like they could. Maybe mama just cooked a little bit better than what you've ever been able to figure out. Maybe it's something special they done about the laundry. You know, some of them old women, laundry is an art. I believe that. Because like I said, not all laundry is the same. I've had my wife learn, because at first, when I get dirty, I do, especially trapping season and everything else, I get dirty. And my wife at first, you know, when we first got married, I'd say, you ain't getting these britches clean. She said, well, she blamed the washing machine. I said, my mama and my mama had a blooming old wore out washing machine. They'd get stuff clean. I don't know whatever happened. She finally figured it out. She learned, okay? And she figured, I don't know what it is. I don't know what she does. You know, you got to have colds and hots and rinse this first, and y'all, I don't know, I ain't got no little longer in my life, just be honest. But she figured it out. But I'll say this, that there's always something. And I'm sure every one of you's got somebody, mom or dad, you got somebody that you think about, and you think, man, I wished I'd learned more from them. Amen?
Yeah.
You ever think about that? Man, I wished I'd just stopped and asked them. And then maybe they could have taught me a little bit more about that, whatever it was, if I'd just learned from them. In that same way that I looked up and I wanted to ride that, I wanted to get that weed eater in my hand. I wanted to get that goat devil in my hand. To me, that was a new adventure.
Yeah.
And the same way we ought to feel about serving God is the fact that what he's doing. How about that first time you ever did get to ride that mower? That first time you ever did get to pick up that saw and run that chainsaw? The first time you ever did get to run that saw in the shop? Or the first time you ever did get to stir at cookies, you know, helping your mama with the laundry, or helping your mama bake something or something like that. Didn't it excite you back then?
Yeah.
Wasn't it exciting to get to do what mama's doing or to do what daddy's doing? Well, guess what? It can still be exciting for us as Christians to get to do what our father's doing.
Amen.
It can still be exciting for us just to be a part. Guess what? Because guess what? He's allowing us to do the things that he's doing.
Yeah.
He's allowing us to take part in the work that he's doing. Mm-hmm. Understand this, that it is not just simply a responsibility on our part. It's a privilege on our part to be a part of what our Father is doing.
Man.
And on the other hand, you got this. Guess what? It's never too late. Mm-hmm. Because whatever it is that we need to know more about, and then we need to figure more out more about, it's not as if he's passed on and going away. He's still led. He's still fresh. It's still fresh on his mind. If you want to know more about him and how to do it, you can talk to him anytime. Praise God.
Amen.
And he can tell you more about it. I'm glad to know that whatever it is that God wants for me to do, whatever design and plan He has for my life, that I hadn't let Him down. I hadn't. I want to tell you something, friend. You hadn't let Him down. You know why? Because everything that He ever anticipated from you was just to believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? Guess what? When He sees goodness in you, it's not what you're doing. Amen? Remember that.
Yeah.
He sees the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
He sees the precious blood of His Son.
Amen.
And so anything you do beyond that point is just the fact that you got the privilege and the honor of being able to serve Him and grow the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And what a privilege and honor that is. That's why whenever James is talking here, he says this about it. He says, what is the profit? What does it profit? What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith say? Now I want to read something real quick just to give us some clarification on this. It says this. He says, let me see here. I lost my place. Verse 24, it says, "You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only." Let me take verse 24. And let me take here in verse number 14 that we just read. First of all, understand this. When it says, "Can faith save him?" The word there in the Greek is so, it's either sojo or sojo, I can't remember. But it means to preserve.
Yeah.
Like you're saving something from contamination. Like you're saving something, you're preserving something. And so when it says save, it's the same kind of word that's used over in 1 Timothy chapter 2. If you read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, where that he says, notwithstanding she shall be saved in childbearing, if they, in verse 15, chapter 2, verse 15, notwithstanding she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity with holiness and sobriety. It's the same word. It just means preserved. It means that the testimony, the ministry of the mother, the woman is preserved in childbearing. It's the same way it's talking about here. It says that your testimony, your ministry is preserved through your works. Not the fact that you just say that you're a Christian, but the fact that you live it out in your daily life. Amen? Guess what? Joel Osteen says he's a Christian.
Uh-huh.
You following me?
Yeah.
Benny Hinn says he's a Christian. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now these are the leaders of some of these folks. Can you imagine what the followers act like? They got cameras on them. So at least they're going to be behaved to some degree. But they depart from the Word of God.
Amen. Yeah.
I would rather listen to a hedonistic rapper that's cursing and talking about drugs and gangs and all this, that, and other than one of these false teachers.
Yeah.
But these people claim to be Christian. And so just because they claim to be Christian doesn't mean that it preserves their testimony. Because there's many that see that and they recognize that that is not Christianity.
Yeah.
Because it does not line up with the Word of God. Mm-hmm. You understand? Their lives do not match that of the Word of God.
Yeah.
So just because you claim to be Christian does not preserve your testimony. Does not save you in that sense. But what does is the fact that you live it out in your daily life. So he says, what does it profit? What good does it do to just say you're a Christian and not have works to follow with that? It says, can faith, meaning can you just say you're a Christian? Does that preserve your testimony, the fact that you say you are? I know plenty of people who have passed away. And I've had to preach many funerals of those who said that they were Christian. But I've never witnessed it in their life. I've never seen it. And so it gave me cause for worry.
Yeah.
I know a lady right now, she had a son that passed away, and she was very concerned about his salvation. He claimed to be a Christian. I talked to him. I said, brother, I said, have you ever been saved? He told me he had. She talked to him, and he told her that he had. He'd been saved. But nevertheless, he wasn't living like a Christian. And his mother, to this day, as far as I know, is still very concerned about it. It breaks her heart.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't living like a Christian. The fact that you know, he said he was, and I pray and hope that he was.
Yeah.
You know, that's my hope, that I'll see him again one day. Because I know it's not based on what he does. I know it's based on what Jesus done.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is this, is that your testimony is preserved in the fact of what you do. Amen.
Yeah.
In the same sense, whenever it says there in verse 24, it says, you see then how by works, not. It says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. It's not saying that you're justified by faith plus works. It's saying that you are justified in the eyes of men by your works, having faith to put behind those works. It's saying that if you have faith, then you will put it to exercise and work. I could say, let me put it to you this way. I could say, I got faith, I'm going to lose 20 pounds in the next month. But I'm going to McDonald's after service.
Yeah.
How's that going to work out?
Yeah.
I got faith that I'm going to save $2,500 this time next year. But I think I'll just start going out to the steakhouse every other night. How's that going to work out?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? In order to be able to accomplish that, which you can dream all you want to, and you can say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I know people like that. Anybody know anything? Y'all know somebody like that? They all come talk about, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and they never do nothing. You ever know about, like, I can't stand that. Somebody all the time, they got dreams, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, but they don't never do nothing. They just talk about it. And you know, it's not hurting me one bit. It's only hurting them. But, you know, it's pitiful. You know what I mean?
Right.
It is. It's pitiful. And that's the same thing. It's a pitiful Christian that talks about, well, I trust the Lord, and I trust him, but you don't never do nothing about it. Do you believe this when the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? How many of y'all believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I believe that. I believe that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what about what it says after that? It says, how shall they call upon him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? It's not talking about a pastor behind a pulpit. It's talking about a herald of the gospel. It's talking about someone who takes and carries the good news and delivers it to them. Amen? That can be you as well. Understand that you can be called to preach publicly, but everybody is called to spread the gospel. If you are a Christian, you have been called to tell the good news, to be a bearer of that good news, to tell others about Jesus. And then there's this point, and I'm done. Lord willing, we'll go back here Sunday morning, but I'm going to tell you this, and I'm done. And I just want you to think on this week. Preacher, if I was living in a tent, and if I was driving a Pinto, and I had to borrow money from you and everybody else all the time, but I want to give you financial advice. Would you listen to it? Or how about this? I come up with a weight loss plan and start telling y'all how to do it. Would you listen to that? I don't think so. I just told you I ain't never done a load of laundry in my life. I start telling you how to do laundry, you wouldn't want to hear much of that either, would you? My point is this. You want to listen to people that you have witnessed and know that they know what they're talking about. Like I said, we're called to spread the gospel. If anybody's going to hear you, they're going to have to know that you're serious about what you're talking about.
Amen.
The evidence needs to be in your life that you are not only adhering to it in heart, but in mind and spirit and in body and in every other way, that you want to do whatever it is that pleases God. Like I said, we take what God puts in here. We don't want to just let it. You know what happens to a body of water where water's just flowing in? He said he's the living water.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what happens to a body of water where water's flowing in and none flows out?
See.
Yeah, it becomes stagnant. It's a swamp.
Yeah.
It's a swamp. It becomes putrid.
Yeah.
It's not refreshing. It draws mosquitoes and all kinds of varmints. They want to lay their larvae in there and parasites and just filth. That's what happens. So you can be saved and you can have all of this. You come in here to church and you can get all this and you can grow and you can get your notes and you can study your Bible and you can have all this flowing in. But if you ain't flooding it, flow out. What does it profit? That's what the Bible said. What does it profit if you ain't letting it flow out? That means that you take everything that you're here, you take everything that you're growing, everything God's doing in your life, and you let it flow out. You take out what you pour it out. What a blessing it is that we get to be the vessels of God.
Yeah.
You understand the repercussions of that? That you and I, as sinful and sorry as we are, that God allows us to be vessels of righteousness, to pour out His goodness and righteousness upon everybody around us.
Yeah.
To be able to spread the good news, to be able to do good to others, and to do it for all for the glory of God. But as you're doing it, let's remember that people need to see that we are Christians. Mm-hmm. And so like I said, you know, we've preached this, you know, all this last few weeks. I hope that you leave here tonight not feeling as if that, you know, you don't have the right to pray, that you don't need to come to church because you're not doing that. That's just guilt. That's not doing you any good. I pray that through the power of the Holy Ghost, you're convicted to grow closer and to do more because it is your privilege. Privilege and your honor to be able to do so because God saved you regardless.
Yeah.
God saved you. You wasn't worthy. You ain't going to be worthy. You ain't never been worthy. You don't stand a chance. I don't stand a chance. We always go to that. But that's not what it's about. What it's about is our Father is allowing us to do the things He does and take part in it. And we're blessed to be able to do so. Are you following me?
Yeah.
Amen. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. I don't even know, like I said, I might have been scattered tonight. And that's just what the Lord put on my heart. I believe I preached tonight what the Lord gave me. If the Lord spoke to your heart tonight for any reason, you can come to this altar. It's a time and point in the message tonight. God's brought something to your attention. You'd like to bring it and leave it here and get it off your chest. I pray that I hope that you'd come and that you'd just leave it here. Leave here tonight renewed and growing. Being in the place where God wants you to be, your heart, your mind, your body, your soul.
Today, Lord, thank you, Lord, for your service, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done on the cross, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We'll pick it back at the next point in time. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.
Amen.